If you will, please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'd like to direct your attention to the first two verses here in this book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Among all the statements in the Bible, this statement from King Solomon is one that needs to be permanently etched in our hearts and engraved in our minds. Among all the truths in the Bible, this particular truth needs to be declared to our hearts and to our nation more frequently. What is the meaning of Solomon's proclamation, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity"? The meaning is that there is nothing in this life apart from God that can bring true, lasting satisfaction. Solomon's declaration means to find unending happiness in anyone or anything else in this world is a hopeless pursuit. This is the theme of the entire book of Ecclesiastes. Of the 222 verses found in the book, 28 verses mention the word vanity, emptiness, futility. And Solomon concludes that there are several things in life that humanity seeks after for happiness, but such things cannot bring true fulfillment to the soul. Both the beginning of the book and the ending of the book declare this same truth, that all is vanity under the sun apart from God. The book of Ecclesiastes is very relevant to our day because there is nothing new under the sun. That is to say, the world is still searching for satisfaction in everything outside of God. Mankind remains in a passionate quest to make himself happy, independent of fearing the Lord and keeping his commandments. But all pursuits are pointless. To help us understand these things more clearly, I would like to consider three points with you this morning. First, man's ceaseless search for satisfaction. Second, the Christian's source and struggle for satisfaction. And then third, practical steps in securing true satisfaction in the Lord. Consider first this morning with me man's ceaseless search for satisfaction. Consider the sources of his search. Where do others search for satisfaction in this life? While there are 1,000 things sinful man seeks after to find satisfaction, let me give you 4 main categories that most can fall under. The world seeks happiness in the following 4 categories primarily: professions, possessions, people, and pleasure. Professions, possessions, people, and pleasure. And this world is in an endless pursuit of satisfaction first in their professions. And we see it with parents pushing their children to be the high honor grade role student in their school so that they can then be a high honor student in the local college, so then that they might have a high ranking job, and so then that might lead to lots of money. Now, parents, we should desire that our children do their very best. We should desire that we teach our children that whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with all of their might, to do it to the best of their ability. But there is an overwhelming influence and a strong pressure put on children to be something great so that they can have lots of money and find satisfaction in their job rather than in the Lord. And we see students stressed out and given over to the things of this life. We find those in their places of employment unsatisfied with their work, and then they jump from job to job and city to city trying to find some sort of satisfaction in what they do. and to illustrate that man finds satisfaction in his work. Often when you get two men together in a course of a 5-minute conversation, it will always lead to the question, what do you do? In other words, who are you? And you are what you do, and what you do is who you are. And in that often is a sifting of satisfaction in their work. Another area in which man finds satisfaction is in his possessions. Man is eager to become as rich as he can, thinking that money can equate happiness. Those who are seeking for a high-ranking job often seek to step over people so that they can become more high-ranking and so that they can be known in their place of employment, so then that they can have more money and more possessions. This world is in an eager pursuit to have the best of homes, the nicest of cars, the boats, the RVs, and the ATVs, and some people find satisfaction in these things. And then there's people. This world is in an eager pursuit to find satisfaction in other people. They feel empty if there is not a strong friendship or a relationship. They feel out of place. There's the searching for the right spouse. There's the fulfillment in a child or children. There's the satisfaction in a boyfriend or girlfriend and the pleasures that they can give. Perhaps some finding pleasure in doing good for others. And some serve and they serve and serve and serve. They go to the soup kitchen. They feed the poor. And this produces a high and brings a sense of satisfaction to their life. And still others yet find satisfaction in their pleasure. From professions to possessions to people to pleasure, others give themselves over to drugs, the drinking of alcohol. They get lost in the music of this world. They get lost in their favorite sports team, various forms of entertainment, their vacations and travel, and they jump from god to god and idol to idol, trying to find satisfaction for the soul. And these topics are the theme of the world's music, are they not? The attainment of cars, houses, money, sexual immorality, drugs. And I can speak this from experience as one who was blindly enslaved to such foolish entertainments before I became a Christian. I can speak to you and tell you that these are the subject of the most popular music genres. The topics of professions, possessions, people, and pleasure are the theme found in today's box office movies, the most popular television shows. We live in a culture and world ceaselessly seeking after satisfaction through every avenue while neglecting the one who gives everlasting satisfaction, and that is God. Now, why is this? Why are we prone to pursue satisfaction through everything but God? What makes humanity seek after the satisfaction in everything except the Lord? Well, the reason is this. Man seeks after such satisfaction because man is lost. He does not know God. The fear of God is not before his eyes. Since Adam plunged the world into sin in the garden, mankind has been under the influence of Satan. And Satan's primary goal is to keep the world from worshiping God alone. Consider what Satan whispered in the ear of Eve while Adam and Eve were enjoying perfect communion with God in the garden. Satan got them to believe that God and God's ways was not satisfying. Satan persuaded our first parents with a lie that God was withholding good from them. Do you remember the commandment God told Adam? Do not take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now God had provided all the other trees of the garden to enjoy. And here comes the deceiver. Here comes Satan and his whisper in the ear of Eve is God is not bringing true satisfaction. If you want true satisfaction, go ahead and take of that tree. His attack was on that of satisfaction. Satan's lies led Adam and Eve in seeking satisfaction in that which led to their death and separation from God. And Satan's tactics have not changed. He still whispers in the ears of others that to love the world and the things of this world is the only way to true happiness. Satan continues to keep others from God by setting 1,000 different things and people in their way so that they might try to find satisfaction or pleasure to their flesh. And those of us who have been transformed by God's power and grace can affirm these things to be true because we were once living in spiritual darkness, seeking after professions, possessions, people, and pleasure, trying to find satisfaction. And we all can attest, if we are here, born again by the Spirit of God, that we found things to be vain, empty, futile. And sinful man will continue to seek after false gods and false idols, pleasure after pleasure, and they will seek so in vain. Because Solomon said, it's all empty. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. In other words, trying to find satisfaction in everything outside of the Lord is a deceitful mirage. You think that it's there, you think that it's satisfying, but when you take the cup of that supposed satisfaction up to your mouth and you begin to drink it, there's nothing. Consider those you know who were once living in beautiful homes and driving beautiful cars, and now they have filed for bankruptcy. Consider those who had a beautiful family, who seemed to have it all together, that it seemed that they knew what true satisfaction was, who are now living on Skid Row, downtown Los Angeles. Consider those who had a booming business, a thriving career. They thought that they knew what satisfaction was, and yet they are in a great state of depression today. In fact, they're suicidal. Some are so empty and discontent that they're in and out of the drug rehabs and jail. This is the emptiness of life apart from God. This is exactly what King Solomon, the wisest man who has ever lived, tells us today. Then notice, second with me, the Christian's source and struggle for satisfaction. The true believer is the one who has found his soul's satisfaction in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, Jesus is not speaking in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Jesus is saying, those who come and eat of me, that is, those who come and believe on me for salvation, will not be passionate in finding satisfactions outside of himself. He is their true satisfaction. True believers can say with the Apostle Paul, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And though the world screams of false satisfaction in the ears of the believer, the Christian cleaves to Christ as his all-sufficient Savior. The Christian's source of satisfaction is in the Lord. And we find this true in the statement of Asaph, Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26. Here's the heart cry of the true believer. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. I know that's sometimes hard to swallow. Well, wait a second. I love my family so much so. I love my spouse, I love my children, I love my parents. How could I not love them more than God? Well, Jesus said, if you love father or mother, son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. God is to be our supreme love, and God is the supreme love of all those who've been truly born again. It is not that we love our spouse or children any less so. It's just that we love God more. And His command, we would hope that they would love God more than us. And so Asaph says, there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We see the source of his satisfaction. It is in God. But also we see his struggle. If we were to read the whole Psalm, Psalm 73, we see this struggle going on in his heart. And this is the reality of all true believers. Though believers find their soul's satisfaction in Christ, they are tempted by the outside sources of this world to be pulled in a false sense of satisfaction. Asaph is looking at the world and considering the prosperity of the wicked. And he is saying to God that this is not fair. How is it so that the world prospers? It seems that they're problem-free. It seems that they die as normal men and that there's no real misery. If Jesus, if God is true satisfaction, how come those who live outside of God experience joyful things as well? And there's a real temptation to think that the world knows the way to true satisfaction. Asaph was tempted with a false standard of satisfaction until he went into the house of God, until he heard the word of God and the true measure of satisfaction. Believers sometimes were tempted to think, yeah, you know, those celebrities and sports stars, they've got it made. They're living the high life. That's happiness. Until we open up the word of God and see the correct measure and standard for true satisfaction. Can I remind you of Joseph? His circumstances changed in a heartbeat. Betrayed by his brothers, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and yet the scripture says he trusted in the Lord. God was with him, teaching us that his satisfaction was in God despite troubling circumstances. Job the same. We hold Job up as a hero of the faith because Job lost everything. He lost all of his physical possessions. He lost his family. His wife tells him to curse God and die, and yet he maintains his integrity. Why? How could he do this? Because his satisfaction was in the Lord. Job would crumble if his satisfaction were found in other things, in other people. Job would not hold fast his integrity if he held his wife higher than the Lord. But his satisfaction was in the Lord and in the Lord alone. So let me give you the third point, steps in securing true satisfaction in God. You're here this morning wondering what steps to make toward securing satisfaction in the Lord. You realize you are seeking for satisfaction in so many things that are in vain. And you realize that the one thing that has been completely absent from your life is a genuine burning love for the Lord. Or perhaps you're a true Christian, but you want to strive to make Christ your satisfaction more than the things of your life. And you cry out, how do I make Jesus Christ my life's satisfaction? Let me give you two main points. First, honest examination. If we want to find true satisfaction in the Lord, there must be honest examination. Answer the following questions, if you will. Where am I finding true contentment? Fill in the blank. If I didn't have, my world would be thrown upside down. I can't imagine living without. Ask yourself, what makes you the most happy here in this life? Ask yourself, if I had, I would be happy. And I can tell you of several specific examples of conversations that I have had over the last couple of months with people who are in a dark state of depression, seeking after everything but God, and with tears in their eyes and a genuine desire to have some sort of purpose in life, they say this, if I only had a spouse, I would be happy. If I only had a good job, I would be happy. If I only had more money, I would be happy. But church, such statements reveal their true spiritual condition. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It shows the false gods that they are worshiping. They are not worshiping the one and only true and living God. Because the true and living God gives true satisfaction to the soul. It may be that there are some here attending this place of worship who think and say the same things. You come to church and you leave the same way, finding no satisfaction in the Lord. You hear the preaching, but you are still in the same miserable condition and nobody else really knows about it. If that is true in your life, it may be that you have religion, but you do not have Jesus Christ. You need to be honest before God and acknowledge that you may not be a true believer. Your profession of faith is only that, a profession. We need more than a profession. We need a possession. We need Christ possessing us. We need to possess Christ. There have been many over the years who have sought satisfaction in being religious, who were without the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Just look at Scripture. The classical example of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus found satisfaction in what? He thought it was in God, but it was in his religious works. The woman at the well, John chapter 4, she was trying to find satisfaction in other men, jumping from man after man after man after man, not finding satisfaction. Oh, and then, yeah, now she wants to be religious and spot off a few religious words to Jesus when he comes. Her satisfaction was in her sin and in her religion all at once. She didn't know what was satisfying. She was in church on Sunday and with another man on Monday. Consider the Pharisees and their works. And they're striving to obey the law of God, seeking to keep every jot and tittle of the law. But there was no true satisfaction. Consider the Apostle Paul before he became a Christian. He was striving with all of his might to try to find true satisfaction. Judas, the same. He preached. He prayed. He served along Christ. He listened and learned. And all these people found in the Bible would have been those who have said with their lips, my satisfaction is in the Lord 100%. They would have been those who said, I'm right with God. These people knew that God existed. They believed that the Scriptures were true. They knew that they were sinners before God. They knew that a Messiah would come as Savior, yet they were not truly born again. Have you been born again? Again, not do you go to church? Do you read the Bible? Do you pray? Do you believe in God? Have you had a miraculous transformation in your heart and soul? That's the question. Have you been made a new creation in Christ? If you have, you know true satisfaction. If not, you're still groping in the darkness, trying to find satisfaction in all these religious things. You need an honest examination before the Lord. And sometimes with that, you are in need of godly counselors to help you in your examination. Jesus was a godly counselor to Nicodemus. Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night, Master, what can I do to be saved? How can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus, as a counselor, knowing Nicodemus' sinful condition, knowing the Scriptures, helping Nicodemus to come along and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way. We need those in our life who will be honest enough, who have looked into our lives and say, you know what? Here's your problem. Here's what you're trusting in. Here are your gods. We need the preaching and teaching, the counseling of the Word, because through that, the Spirit reveals what gods we are trusting in. We need to be like David in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. We need to cry out to the Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be honest before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know if I know true satisfaction in you. My habits would declare otherwise. There are gods that I love, and I cleave to, and they bring me great pleasure. I don't get the phoniness of those Christians who say that Jesus is their all in all. Are you open to being honest before Him? And then you need not only an honest examination, you need a humble internalization. That is, you need to incorporate what God says in your life. You need to submit yourself to what God says in His Word. It is one thing to know that God is our satisfaction. It is quite another to actually live it out in our lives. It's one thing to run in the hot desert sun and to stare at a nice cool glass of water and to know that water can quench my thirst. But it's quite another thing to actually take the water and drink it. And so it is with our lives. Many know that God is present. They know that the Scripture is true. They've seen with their eyes the experience of true Christians who found satisfaction in Him, but they're still standing afar off and they're not willing to take the cup and drink it. There must be an internalization of biblical truth. David said that God's words are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. He internalized the truth of God, and in internalizing the truth of God, then he found satisfaction in the Lord. Believer, you will not know true satisfaction if you dismiss the Word of God in your life. You may be a true believer, and you are still a babe in Christ, and you're being pulled every which way, tossed about with every new wind of doctrine, and you're not finding satisfaction. It's because you're not in God's book. This book will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from this book. Jeremiah said, God's words were found, and I just looked at them, observed very carefully, and that brought satisfaction. No. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. I consumed them. And they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. What gave satisfaction to Jeremiah, even through difficult circumstances? It was the internalizing of God's Word. Job said that he esteemed God's Word more than his necessary food. Now, some are those who go fine dining and find satisfaction in the T-bone steaks and filet mignons. But Job says, I desire God's Word more than food. That brings satisfaction. Teaching us that there is satisfaction in the Lord. And our satisfaction in the Lord is directly related to our living out God's Word in our day-to-day life. True internalization is knowing and doing. James says that we need to be doers of God's Word, not hearers only. Jesus says those who are blessed are those who hear the Word of God and do it. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who hears and does. What is our satisfaction this morning? Is it truly the Lord? And again, we can nod our head yes, and we can say, yeah, amen. But when others look at your life, can they say their satisfaction's in the Lord? They've watched through you through the fires and the trials, and they have seen you hold fast to the Lord even through the dark storms. If your satisfaction is not in the Lord, if your satisfaction is in the things of this world, the gods, the idols, that which has eyes but they see not, they have ears but they hear not, they have mouths but they speak not, they're not true living gods, I encourage you today to cast them aside. Flee from those idols that are vain, they're empty, they're worthless, they can bring no satisfaction. Perhaps it's another person. Perhaps it's a relationship you have. Perhaps it's something that brings you pleasure in the flesh and you run to this and this is your God and this is where you find fulfillment, but it only leads to destruction and misery and heartache. You know what I'm talking about. If that's you today, run to the Lord. Take up the water, the living water, the spiritual water, and drink it. Why? Because Psalm 107 verse 9 says, "For God satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Psalm 16:11, "In God's presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Jesus on the mount, preaching His greatest sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, looks over the multitudes, and He knows that the multitudes are seeking satisfaction in so many things. He knows that the Pharisees and the Sadducees will be hearing what He says, and Jesus is going to give one statement that speaks to the satisfaction of life. And here are Jews who thought that they were living a satisfying life. Here are those worshiping false gods. And Jesus on the mountaintop says, "Blessed," or happy, "satisfied are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they who search, who are hungering and thirsting for that which satisfies the spiritual soul, the spiritual nature of man. For those who are seeking after that satisfaction will be filled." Filled with what? Filled with God. If you're hungry and thirsty this morning for true satisfaction in Christ, Jesus gives His open invitation, "Come unto Me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that invitation speaks of man trying to find satisfaction. They're laboring, they're heavy burdened with the sins of this world. They're trying and trying and trying their best to find satisfaction. But Jesus says, those things will never satisfy. Just come to Me. Cast your sin upon Myself. Come unto Me, and I will give you rest. Eternal rest, spiritual rest, everlasting rest. Let's pray together.